Blog Talk Radio.
Big round of applause.
Boy, good.
good and terrible.
Thank you.
The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Yeah.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Which one of y'all
gonna shine?
Let it shine. I like to give a big round of applause to my band. Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate. Sex. My band. Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate. Sex. Sexual chocolate.
Nigga be hurt for life, hoe be hurt for life. Nigga be hurt, she don't die for real. She just hate niggas for life. Hurt people, can't you see? More the program from the projects. It's the project to stop your progress. Keep you obsessed with fancy objects. To crack your third eye, it's the process. It's the hot mess. It's out here for a melanated nigga. I say meditating nigga. Sexual chocolate. Yeah, damn, homie, I invoke the dead homies on the other side to bring this shit back alive. No one really died. You sound hurt, all you do is complain. You the face of the niggas ain't shit campaign. Seven circuits in your brain, you addicted to pain. Addicted to the chemicals that get released in your veins. Just let your soul go.
Let it shine, let it shine.
Like which one of y'all gonna
ladies, make it clap.
Why you clap and move?
Make it clap.
Get that ooh, climb it down like ooh. Oh yeah,
I'm like Unu, Unu, you know Juju. Chakra feel like Nunu, Chakra like I'm Zulu. Oh yeah, Mike, rain on me, come again. Swank on me, come again. Shake that weave, that 3A baby, that 4C. See my baby, some days I don't wanna be cheap. See my baby, they get hella rich and go hot in these sheets. Get your ones up, get your cake too. Give me some, yeah, I wanna taste too. The world is f***ed up, we f*** our way through. The world is f***ed up, so we f*** our way through.
It's okay, she said, put it in, sister. Shawty come now, let it rain down. Put it in, sister. Put it back, give me that. Put it back, sister. Put it back in like sister. Put it back in like sister. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, sister. You got voodoo, I got buku. Put it back in like sister. Put it back in like sister. Put it back in like sister. I gotta come in like I got my foot on the gas, eye on the cash, hand on my wheel on my hand in the lab. Push on my flight so we could make it last. Ba-dum, bum, bum, on onyash. See my baby, some days I don't wanna be cheap. See my baby, let get hella rich and go hot in these sheets.
Get your ones up, get your cake too. Give me some, yeah, I wanna taste too. The world is f***ed up, we f*** our way through. The world is f***ed up, so we f*** our way through.
Bring it back, voodoo. Get that, dodo. Matter of fact, square in the bean town. Woo, uh-oh, Oakland. Eastside, Flatbush, Susu. Put it back in like Susu. Put it back in like Susu. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, Susu. You got voodoo, I got buku. Put it back in like Susu. Put it back in like Susu. Put it back in like Susu. I gotta come in like.
Do you need a logo or promotional video for your business, but don't want to break the bank? Well, let Sassy Girl Images handle all of your media needs. Sassy Girl Images creates custom logos, flyers, promotional videos, and websites with affordable pricing you can't beat. Contact us today on Instagram or Facebook or email us at sassygirlimages@gmail.com for your free quote and consultation. Sassy Girl Images. Quality design. Affordable pricing. Sassy Flair.
Friendly announcer, I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
So deep divers, you have IQ, which stands for intelligence quotient. And then you have EQ, which stands for emotional intelligence, which is simply when you can put down the last biscuit because you know, well, you've already had enough. That's it. Peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we are here. I'm sending you tons of great energy. Take that, take that, take that. We're just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Now, deep divers, it is time to talk about EQ. No, we're not making a song right now, but we're about to. EQ, which is emotional intelligence, okay? And this is far more important than IQ, because every single day, We are faced with challenges, obstacles. And if we can learn to become more emotionally intelligent, we are going to pass through them with ease. Any challenge, oh, with ease, right? So this video is all about how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello pair? So wonderful, deep divers. Let me share with you what's helped me along my journey. Someone asked, Ralph, please talk about emotional intelligence. So that's what we're going to do. I know what it's like to be immature. And I know what it's like to be mature. I know what it's like to have a lack of emotional intelligence. It's terrible. And I know what it's like to have emotional intelligence. It feels so good to be alive, baby. If you can let go of a grudge today, that's how you know you are becoming more emotionally intelligent. A lot of people hold on to grudges for dear life. I'm not talking to them, Ralph. Why not? Because they stepped on my shoe. I'm not talking to them, Ralph. Why not? Because they didn't reply back to my text message like 5 years ago, and I'm still holding on to it. Yes, holding on to a grudge is like holding on to hot charcoal with the intent of throwing it at someone else, but instead you get burnt. And I've realized that it's not worth it. And that shows you are becoming more emotionally intelligent when you can let it go. When you can just let it go. Like, let it go. Because we are living in a flash of light. And if you are holding on to a grudge today, you deny yourself the opportunity to evolve to the next level. Slow motion this side. How to recognize you're becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you can lose jealousy, if you can lose envy, you are becoming more emotionally intelligent. Where does jealousy come from? Where does envy come from? They come from a place of lack. A lack of self-love gives birth to jealousy and envy. What? Slow motion this side. When you love yourself, when you are happy inside of yourself, you're okay with someone else shining because it doesn't take away from your shine, right? Because you're like, nobody is me. That's what emotional intelligence is. When you're like, I don't need to be envious of someone. I don't need to be jealous right now. Why? Because I can create any reality I choose. Deep divers, how to recognize you are becoming emotionally intelligent and mature, which is actually the key to becoming your greatest version. If you can accept what you can't change, you are becoming emotionally intelligent. Let's face it, we've all done stuff in the past we're not proud of, especially the cat down the road, okay? But we grow, we learn, we live to see another day. Emotional intelligence is all about when you realize that, hey, I can't change it, and I accept that I can't change it, but I can change what I'm doing right now. If you are living in the present moment, you are becoming more emotionally intelligent. However, if you are holding the past against yourself, now you aren't. A lot of us, how many times do we beat ourselves up over the past that we screwed up? We missed an opportunity. We can't forgive ourselves. Self-forgiveness is the gateway to emotional intelligence. Slow motion this side. Deep dive is how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you are able to turn down offers because they don't align with your values, you are becoming more emotionally intelligent. I've had big deals on the table. People have asked me to be in all kinds of commercials, films, but I look at it and I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't align with my values. I don't care if it's seven figures on the table. If it doesn't align with my values, I won't do it. You can't buy Ralph Smart out. The cat down the road tried that. Didn't work. Right? So if that's you right now, if people are offering you, hey, take this deal. You can be on the big screen. I can make you famous. And it doesn't align with your values. That's what emotional intelligence is. If you're like, I don't care about the money because I have to be happy doing this. This has to align with my value system. That is true emotional intelligence. Because a lot of us, let's face it, along our early journeys, we would just take any deal that was on the table. And that really wasn't showing a huge level of maturity because we weren't really honoring our true value system. Or maybe just because we didn't really know our true value system. How to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. Deep divers, 7-day vegan challenge. So emotional intelligence, right? Emotional intelligence is when you have the willpower. I've got the willpower to put down the last vegan biscuit because you know you've already had enough. Put your hand up if you like vegan donuts, if you like plant-based treats and sweets. I do. But emotional intelligence is sometimes when you can say, actually, I've had enough of that chia seed porridge. I've had enough of that acai bowl. I've had enough of the green juice smoothie, and I'm good. Emotional intelligence is all about contentment. How many times have we eaten more than we can actually chew? Now we feel sick. Oh, I can't eat anymore, right? But maturity is like, actually, I've had enough. And this is hard. I'm no saint because sometimes I just like eat everything in the kitchen, right? But emotional intelligence is being disciplined when it comes to food. Pass me all of those grapes, actually. Screw that, right? Deep dive is how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you can skip the club because you have to work on your dream, because it's far more important to you deep down, that is emotional intelligence. If you can skip the club because you're like, I want to work on myself, I want to get to know who I am, that is emotional intelligence. If you can skip the club because you're like, actually a club, they call it a club because they are beating you to death. Never mind. If you can skip that because you're like, I need to catch up on some sleep. I don't care what my friends think of me. That is emotional intelligence. And congratulations, the cat down the road. The cat down the road and I want to give you a massive emotional intelligence award. Deep divers. How to recognize you are becoming emotionally intelligent and mature. You see, it takes courage to turn down invitations because you don't want to upset other people. But that is emotional intelligence. If you can say no, that is emotional intelligence. Because a lot of us, we say yes when it's really a no to ourselves. What? Slow motion this side. Emotional intelligence, shout out to Bob Marley, is when you stand up for your rights and you don't give up the fight. Deep divers, how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you don't have to force love, you are becoming emotionally intelligent. If you're like, I don't have to force what is meant for me, Ralph. No, you don't. That is emotional intelligence. It's what I call the Cinderella effect. Who is meant for you will never reject you. And when both of you connect, it will be a natural union, a natural connection. If you don't have to force love, if you don't have to beg people to come into your life, that is emotional intelligence because you are allowing everything to flow naturally. Deep divers, how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you can respect other people's differences. Like deep divers, I connect with all kinds of people. Different colors, different creeds, different backgrounds. But guess what? We're actually all the same because we are just energy in human form. And that's what emotional intelligence is. It's when I came to realize that we are multidimensional beings having a human experience. And everything we have been taught from school, from our childhood has been a complete lie. The great Krishnamurti said, have you ever wondered why we have countries? What? Slow motion this side. He also said this. It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. If you can actually learn to realize that underneath our egos and our status and all of these things, and if we can realize that we are just human beings, we are just energy, we are just vehicles of light and darkness, right? But we are here for a very short period of time. And we have to make the most of life because life is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Deep divers, if you can realize all of that, if you can respect people's differences, no matter their preferences, that is emotional intelligence. Because I'm going to do me. You can do you. Just don't kill anybody. That is emotional intelligence. Deep divers, how to recognize you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. If you can say, just say it. Say it. Sorry, you did it. Amazing, right? If you can say sorry, even when you don't want to, that is emotional intelligence because you know you screwed up. Yeah, you really did screw up right now, right? If you can say sorry, because a lot of us, we're so hard-headed. Even when we're wrong, we can't admit it. If you can admit when you're wrong, if you can just say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up, I screwed up. Nothing to be ashamed of. That is true emotional intelligence, right? Congratulations. If you can learn how to be vulnerable today, if you can expose yourself to the world, tell everyone, tell all of us, right? I'm listening. About your flaws? Yes, tell me. About how imperfect you are? Yeah, tell me. That is emotional intelligence. Because you didn't come here to be perfect. You came here to be real. So there you have it, deep divers. If you ticked all of the above, you are becoming more emotionally intelligent and mature. And once that happens, deep divers, well, you'll just say, feel so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello there? Beautiful, deep divers, you are amazing. We're just, whoa, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Get the good ass prana shirts, deep divers, at ralphsmart.com/clothes. Follow me on Instagram right now at Infinite Waters. Get the new book on Amazon, Feel Alive by Ralph Smart. Deep divers, emotional intelligence is the key to becoming your greatest version. Have a beautiful day, deep divers. Infinite Waters. Diving deep once again. Stay well. Stay healthy. Peace. Yo, I feel so mature.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Motivational Classroom, guys. This is your host, Taboo the Oracle 7. Go by many names. You know, some may know me as Keith and Boyd, Haru the Oracle 7, the Oracle 7. You know, however, guys, this is Motivational Classroom. To those of you who are no stranger to Enhancing Awareness Radio, we definitely appreciate your unwavering support and your dedication to the platform, guys. Today, guys, I have a special guest that I actually invited, and also I invited one of my great friends on. You know, two men who I highly respect and, you know, who I've been in sync with for, you know, quite some time. You know, a lot of us men, we share similar, you know, stories and backgrounds. And, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves being in sync, you know, like me and J-Mac, you know, my main guest today. I'm not sure how we attracted, you know what I'm saying, but I know that it was divine, elevated, masculine energy, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, a lot of us truly really want to grow. A lot of us truly are good men, you know, and a lot of us, you know, truly go through pain, you know, and we hurt too, you know what I'm saying. And a lot of times, you know, we were kicked to the wayside. Our feelings never mattered growing up. You know, a lot of things we didn't understand, and we were always by ourselves, and we had no one to talk to, no one to listen. So when the internet, you know, really started to boom, and when Facebook really, you know, MySpace, Facebook, you know, you have all these social media was discovered, if you rediscovered, if you will, you know, when it was rediscovered, right? Nothing new under the sun. When it was rediscovered, yeah. You know, that gave us an opportunity to link. So, you know, me and the brother J-Mac, you know what I'm saying, we always commune in the background. But one day we were communing on Black Fathers, because he has two daughters. And I love to see when our men, you know, when our black, when I say our men, I'm specifically speaking to our black men. I'm not racist, but why am I saying that? Because our black men have been put to the wayside. They have been forgot about. They have been looked down upon. And, you know, I feel that there is a science behind this. You know what I mean? So we're going to be talking about a lot of key points here. What was the origin, you know, because you remember in the 60s, the 50s, you know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, grandma, mm. You know, they always had a marriage, you know, together 50 years, 30, you know, it was like real love that you could feel, not some energy shit that you can just project on the TV and call it love. Nah, this was real shit grandma and them did. You know what I'm saying? Grandpa and them did. Were they perfect? No, they were not perfect. But somewhere down the line, there has to be some type of agenda or some type of, you know, something went on, because nowadays we have it down to such a science to where the black man has literally, the black father has literally been pushed out of the household. And, you know, so have we ever thought, wait a minute, is this designed this way for the black man? You know, why is it that society pushes so hard in its propaganda to push the black man out? There's a reason behind it. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about a lot of shit. So without further ado, guys, let's go ahead and bring on my first guest, J-Mac. PCC, fuck you, brother. How do you feel? And
thank you.
Great.
First of all, thanks a lot for having me on. I'm super grateful for this opportunity. You're absolutely right. We did connect on, like, another level outside of social media, where we just kind of – been able to see through each other's, like, posts, and times when we post about pain, we can see direct, like, I see you and you see me, and I just want you to know mm-hmm. that I recognize that. And I also wanted to correct you on one thing. I actually have four okay. daughters.
Four? Okay.
My girl is due next week, so that'll be my four.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. I only seen the two.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have one daughter. I have one, and this is, and I want to tell you, like, this is why I'm so passionate about this, because what I'm going through right now, my oldest daughter, I don't really have a whole lot of access to her, because her mom's trying to change my narrative, because I was homeless. So she's she's painting a narrative like I don't care about, like I don't care about her, like I don't love her. And I was literally living in my car. And so I don't, so I still talk to her, but her mom just, we just don't see eye to eye. And then I have my one she's actually mine that, like, I'm sorry, man. I'm just so excited. I'm flustered in my words.
It's good, bro. Take your time.
Okay. When I got divorced, I got custody of my daughter with my ex-wife, and I have my bonus baby through my girl. So in the house, I have two girls right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Dog,
cool. Yeah. No, you good. So So here, just to let the audience know, you know, and Joanne, thank you for listening. I see you in the background. I don't think that the Ear family is going to be here today, guys, but, you know, I do have a woman's perspective from the feed that I have posted on Facebook for this particular, and I'm going to bring Mark in just a second also because Mark is going to give us the science, you know what I'm saying, the science behind these agendas and what goes on. So let's go ahead and start like this, guys. And just to let you guys know, if any of J-Mac's people are listening any of Mark's people, anybody that's listening, if you are listening online, guys, please be sure that you guys press 1 so that I can see you in the caller queue. If you want to add to the broadcast, J-Mac, you did share the post. Mark, if you want to go on my Facebook page and share the post as well, you know, let people know. I feel that these communions between men, you know what I'm saying, when we actually truly build and not talking about mainstream media bullshit, I mean, when we really talking about some shit that really matters, all right, when we building on some shit that really matters, what I notice is not a lot of people are listening. You know, and Auntie LJ actually pointed to something out the other day, too, you know, that I had to make sure that people are listening. You know, here at Ear Guys, we don't care who's listening. You know, we don't care who's listening. We don't care about the numbers, nothing like that. A lot of this information is going to be for generations that are coming up who are going to be in more alignment. You know, they're going to be more in alignment. We're not worried about the numbers. We're not worried about ratings. Long as this information reaches the hearts and souls of our youth, in which our young men are going to hear us three men today speaking, and they're going to pick up on how to better unify their families, you know what I'm saying, up and coming.
Yes.
So, guys, if you want to call in, the number to call in is going to be area code 929-477-3423. Be sure that you guys press 1 if you want to be a part of the broadcast. If not, guys, you can simply dial the number and you can simply just listen. All right, so J-Mac, go ahead and just let me know why you are so passionate about this particular topic and you being, and I know you're not perfect, you know what I'm saying, but let's just go ahead and just tell me why you're so passionate about this topic and what needs to be said or heard, if you will.
Absolutely. I was raised by a single mother. I'm the oldest of four. I'm oldest of six on my dad's side. And one thing that I recognized, like, just growing up, I was raised in a culture that hated my dad. Like, I didn't hear a whole lot of positive, not anything necessarily, like, directly from my mom, but just my uncles hated him, my aunts hated him or whatever. And my dad would, like, my dad wasn't, how can I say, I saw my dad would, like, literally was the type, he would, like, pop up every 3-4 years and say, hey, everything's going to be different, then he'd disappear again. And I always wonder why. And I carried this rage in me. I just hated him. I didn't want to be nothing like him. Like, and it wasn't until recently, within the past 3-4 years, I was talking to my dad recently. Me and my dad reconnected. And I was like, Dad, like, I always wonder why he took care of his other kids. He had so much access to his other kids. And I was like, Dad, why did you have so much, like, how come, like, why didn't you see us as often as you saw your other kids? And he was like, to be quite honest, son, your mom was the only one to put me on papers. When you were born, When I was born, in Davenport, Iowa, and I moved to Orlando when I was two. And as it turned out, my dad pissed my mom off, and she just took me and my sister and left. And he didn't know where we were. This is before the internet. So, and my mom to this day takes no accountability for that. She just wants to be like, I had to raise y'all myself. I had to do all this and do all that. She'll never admit that she made her journey a lot harder than it had to be by just taking on kids.
Yep.
And what happened, and what happened with me, and the reason why, and here's the direct reason why I'm so passionate is because it literally played in my life again, where you marry your mother type deal, where you pretty much fall for. My first baby mom was actually my mom. The only reason she works three jobs is so she can say she works three jobs to take care of her child, as opposed to just calling me and telling me what she needs. She'd rather just paint this narrative. Oh, he don't do nothing for you. He's not financially responsible, and she won't even pick up the phone and call me. So I'm like, yo, is it really just this culture of women who just create these fucked up narratives about a dude they let nut in them? Like, that, these are the things that I'm asking myself, because I'm a damn good father. But if all of my baby mamas, only one is going to be like, he ain't shit. The other ones are going to be like, oh, he's in her face the whole time. And I'm like, okay, this is what it is. This is the shit that needs to stop. This right here, because it's not fair. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm so passionate.
Okay. All right, man. All right, y'all. So as you guys know, we have we got Mark in the building too. So let's go ahead and bring Mark in. Mark, it's two numbers. Okay, we got Auntie LJ too with us. good. So this is gonna be a great balance here, you know. And let me say this, guys. Let me say this and hear me, please. Women, I'm talking to you guys. When it comes to us men healing, it's not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. Some of us are going to be very disrespectful due to the level of hurt. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I want women to know that a black man really does love a black woman. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of us are hurt so deeply, and we were never heard. We were never listened to. You heard J-Mac say that his mother, he said it real fast, but he said something very vital that he said, and, you know, my mother would never take accountability of, you know, how hard she made it. You know what I'm saying? He said it real fast, but that is
huge. I'm sorry. I said it so fast.
No. You said it so fast, but you were so sure. I'm trying to make a point that you were so sure. The point about accountability, you know what I'm saying? Accountability, that part. In the process of women making certain decisions out of whether it had been out of, survival or whatever, whatever it may have been, you kind of hurt your kids in the process. You guys, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of us men, what we do is we grow up and we bottle a lot of emotions in, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of explode in the wrong ways. But once we explode in the wrong ways due to unhealed hurt, you know what I'm saying? We're looked at the bad guy. We're looked at as the bad guy. You know, the mom doesn't want to take accountability, you know, for the wounded son that she may have raised, just maybe. You know what I'm saying? You know, so there not only is the man out of order for unhealing, but we all have to come to an accountability table to what we have allowed as a black race to transpire in this world. No one is not going to sit at this accountability table and not feel uncomfortable. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. So I want, this is not a bad, and to any of my people, I want all of y'all to know, I love the black woman. okay? I might be bisexual or whatever, but the black woman is my first and only real priority. So do if I ever be very disrespectful, do not ever think for a second that I do not love and hold high to high standard the black woman who is God, okay? So let me be clear on that. Am I hurt about a lot of shit? Do I pop off in certain ways about a lot of shit? Abso-fucking-lutely. Do I know what the fuck I'm doing? Abso-fucking-lutely. You know what I'm saying? So, and I say that to say this, is because a lot of men come to me in the background, a lot of black fathers, all right, come to me in the background in my private sessions, and they are hurt. Why is it that y'all are in these marriages for 20 years, 30 years? You know, y'all got these children and everything like that. And, bro, you mean to tell me you can't talk to your woman about this? He can't even talk to his own woman or wife about his real shit that he got going on. Y'all don't see a problem with that, women? He can't even talk to you, for real. He got to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to listen to how these men really feel. So a question to ask, and this is no bash, again, against our black women, because a lot of you guys, when you get uncomfortable, you take offense, all right? And this is not a bad, we don't do that here at IR. But everybody will have a valid way of expressing themselves. So on that note, let me go ahead and bring our brother Mark in. Damn, Mark, I'm not sure which one of these numbers you called it from. It's two of the same numbers, actually. Are you there, Mark? You unmuted, bro. 702, Mark. All right, let me unmute this other one. All right, Mark, you
can
there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
I'm
hear
here.
You now. Okay. All right, yeah, bro, I know you've been listening, bro. And, you know, me and you both have conversations about the woman all the time. And, you know, sometimes I have to bring us both back into balance because we can go we can go off the deep end with that one. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of men that feel this way that are not being heard, bro. And they don't got nobody to talk to. At least we got each other, but a lot of them don't have no one to talk to. And I'm proud of the men because the men are starting to step up, speak out, and heal. So, Mark, go ahead and give me your spin on that, brother. And I did not read the book that you sent me last night, but if you have, you know, just go ahead and just spin out, bro.
Well, I will be quoting heavily from the Moynihan Report, and I suggest that every black person reads the Moynihan Report. And to give a little history about it, it was written by Daniel P. Moynihan, who was actually concerned about the crisis of our people, and he wrote this at a very crucial time in 1965 at the apex of the civil rights movement. And the numbers that I'm going to use, a few of the numbers, may sound very Kevin Samuel-ish, but these are very real numbers, and I'm going to update the numbers from 1965 to a 2013 meeting concerning the Moynihan Report that was an official government document that was not supposed to be released at the time that it was written, and it got leaked out. Now, many people misconstrued it, made it to think certain things because it concerned us. However, the plight was to help us out because it was called, the report is actually called The Negro Family, A Call to Action. And that call to action was to help because of the plight given to us. Like, I'm going to start off by reading a few numbers that affect, which will show why black fathers are so needed.
Okay.
Now,
before you do that, Mark, Hold on. Before you do that, I want to know kind of like your phone is choppy and then there's background street noise. So if you can kind of get to a quieter.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's a little
Hello?
Better, but it kind of breaks up. Yeah, that's a little better, but it kind of breaks up every now and then. So I'm not sure what that is, but we're going to roll with it.
Well, I am
on, for the most part.
Well, I am on the line and I'm outside hitting my blunt. I don't smoke in the house. So you might hear a car truck drive by, something like that, while I'm out here on this patio.
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Now, to start with the numbers, 81% of first births by black women are unmarried, born out of wedlock. 90% of births of most inner cities are by single mothers. 70% in America, 70% of divorces are caused by black people, 47% by so-called white people. Out of that 70%, roughly 80% of divorces are caused by women, usually by what they call unreconcilable difference, which the grandmothers would have said, stick it in, baby, it's petty. Now, let me read some more statistics. 2013, 72.3 black people are raised in single homes, while 28% of single homes are by white people. So out of 4 to 10 ratio out of Americans, 4 out of 10 Americans are raised in single-parent homes. Now, the statistics that go out of single-parent homes for productivity with the person, the unemployment rates are higher, school rates are lower, grades are lower, school attendance is lower, the rate to get a juvenile delinquency is high, promiscuity is higher out of in a single mother household. Am I bashing the woman? No, not at all. It's showing that needs to be in that situation. When it's proven fathers are in the home, those rates dramatically change. And I mean dramatically change. So by the numbers alone, that a father is not needed in the house, whether he's black, white skin or not, numbers do not lie. And I can continue to read from the port. Matter of fact, I'm going to go read from, this part right here, page 37. When boys from broken homes are in school, they won't do as well as boys from whole families. Grade retardation when one own parent is present and heist when neither one is present. The loneliness of the Negro youth in making fundamental decisions about education is shown in 1959 study of Negro and whites dropouts in Connecticut high schools. Now, this is a government document. I could read from this document, and it will hurt a lot of feelings, but it will be at the same time, too. Coming to truth is uncomfortable. However, remedy has to be made, and the elephant has to be identified in the room. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro-father. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro-man, and I would like to say it's part of the manosphere. No, it's not a chauvinistic, misogynistic movement. It is a movement for that men can evaluate those better than themselves, and part of that movement where they have men going their own way. They're tired of the decisions, they're tired of the lies and the things we talked about. Women, yeah, we value the woman, but there are a group of women that do opposite that have brought us hurt, and we're tired of running through experiments, so we might as well work on ourselves, develop ourselves, get our money in cycle, because just to be speaking, they ever wanted to talk about deadbeat dads. 51% of black men in America are in the middle class and have no children, and I am one of them.
Yeah.
51%.
That's powerful.
When they talk about all these numbers on social media, these are lied numbers, lied statistics, and run over stereotypes that have been debunked by Frances Welsing back in the 80s. She debated a panel of Europeans on live TV. You can watch it on YouTube. So all this stuff, men ain't shit, needs to go down the toilet. Our college rates have gone up. In the jail system have gone down, and crime rates have gone down the past 20 years. So anyone speaking of that rhetoric is lying. We're doing better. We're moving to do better. And we need to be seeing that one better versus all that other stuff. And like you said, we need to be not heard, but listened to completely and thoroughly.
Yeah.
Not just for a response, but for the word, because it takes a man and a woman together to raise a child. And the ones who are hurting most are the babies. We talk all this stuff, but we forget the kids and the that are involved in this. That's what I'm going to be doing, called Fuck These Kids, because all the way these people, like, they're not considering the children at all, how their development will be, or creating a legacy for them. And because of that, subconsciously, you're saying, fuck these kids. I'm more important. I don't care about your shit. It's all about me. Like, I saw something that was very hurtful. Like, I see a lot of joke, but this is very because I just reading some articles on Reddit where people tell their stories, and I'm seeing young girls that are suicidal because their moms have a fans-only page and they're getting bullied at school because they're like, yeah, your mom busted it open last night. How are these kids making it feel?
Wow.
And these girls wanted to be talking about, oh yeah, we make money on fans only, but your rap career and SoundCloud ain't more shit. I'm like, yeah, but what about the kids that are killing themselves because their moms are doing that? About that? And she wanted to discard that. So, okay, this is supposed to be a woke woman, so they do this. And in this story, the mothers are, when they're coming to them, they're gaslighting the train. Taking vulnerability, making the child feel guilty because the mother wants to bust it open and make some easy ass money.
And making the child feel guilty.
And keep the looking like a rat. What kind of bullshit? You got women that are in their full family homes because they want to go on fans only. And do so. They got crazy things. Like, I talked to many women in this in various industries. And I know women that, like, had to come to their senses and be like, I almost broke up my family, my home, because guys wanted to fly me on fans only and do this, and I want money. That's just a side thing.
Okay, hold on.
Just because with the father being there, that would have stopped.
Mark, people are saying in the background that your phone, I'm not sure what it is. If you could possibly hang up and call back in, Mark, I'm gonna get Jay to comment on everything that you just said. If you can have them call back in, maybe that'll make it clear.
Yeah.
Okay,
I might try to call him myself on my cell phone because it was almost dead. That's why I called him my landline. So I'm going to try on my cell phone.
Okay.
And just to let people know, I am on the red flag list, so them boys can't fuck with my phone.
And so that's why, and this is what I know, Mark. So, you know what I'm saying? We should have two or three phones just off jump. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, but, yeah, call from another line because they in the background saying, we can hear you, but it's low and it's kind of choppy at points. And what you're saying is very vital. So hang up and call back for me, bro.
We'll do. Be right back.
All right. So let's go, J-Mac, let me go ahead and hear what you, if you have any feedback to say after that, and then we'll bring in Auntie LJ.
Okay. One thing that I do notice about single motherhood, like what happens is, I'm only speak for myself. Last year, right?
Okay.
I got custody of my daughter. People around me were telling me like, hey, like when I got custody of my daughter, I was sleeping on an air mattress, in this house full of old people. I had like three or four old ass roommates because, you know, I was pulling myself up. You know what I mean? And when I got custody of her, people were like, you know, she needs to be taking care of her. She needs to be sending you money or whatever. I'll never forget the feeling. I couldn't bring myself to go to court and put her in, and put a case on her. I just couldn't do it. I don't know why, for real. I just know like that would breed a whole lot of stale emotions and stale feelings and feelings of more or less revenge against her. So I was like, you know what? As long as you can give her, as long as your time is available, as long as you can call and come pick her up, what I need your little $50 for? That was just my attitude at the time, and I took that mindset and I applied it to other reasons why women put men on child support, and it's usually over some bitter shit. Oh, he need to take care of his children. He has a responsibility, and what they're not understanding is when a man moves on, he has a whole nother household. He has a whole nother set of bills. He has a whole nother woman. It's unfair for you to just keep asking, especially if you're just single and alone and bitter, and that's the only reason you want some money. You don't want money. You want his attention. You want to stay on his mind. And what happens is, like, when the money ain't there, when the child support ain't there, what's the child going to hear? Oh, your dad ain't shit. He ain't never been shit. He ain't never got your money. My mom told me my dad never paid child support. He tells me a completely different story. And now you take that and you ask yourself, why would she even lie about something like that? What is there to get out of telling me that? You know what I mean? Like, what? Why is child support even my business? And I hold a very strict code. And I hold a very strict code with my children. Adult business is adult business. Child business is child business. What your mama is giving me goes straight to you. No. You ain't got to worry about our arguments. That ain't got nothing to do with you. And I come from a generation where my mom pretty much made all of her affairs between me and my father my business. And it's all her side of the story. So, of course, I'm going to grow up hating my dad. You know what I mean? I'm only getting her side. I'm only getting what people want to say, what the impression he left. And it's all her side of the story. They're all just going to ride for each other. And this is what tears children apart. This is it's like we're destroying black families at the root. And we just raise generation after generation after generation of just broken people who don't know how to love each other. You feel what I'm saying?
You know, I feel what you're saying. Let me also take it as far as saying this. Have you noticed, like, the family unit as a whole is supposed to be like, well, I'm talking blood relatives, y'all, okay? Let's leave the soul family stuff out of it for now. But on a mundane level, you know, you got the family as a whole. Remember back in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s or whatever, when we had the big family reunions? And not only just did this immediate family matter, but the family mattered as a whole unit, right?
Yeah.
Now what we have done, is we have said, you know what, I don't like that bitch, or I don't like her, or I don't like this, or what makes me feel uncomfortable about this. So what we have done is we have branched the family, and we have started to have our own little families and little tribes, and, you know, this is me and mine over here, you know, fuck what y'all got going on. And we ourselves have broke up the family units ourselves. Okay, that's where it started. So I wanted to equate that with what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, can you expound on the family unit? Can you expound on that?
Well, the family unit is okay. So you remember family? You know, if you're old enough, you know what I'm saying. If you remember, the family unit used to be like this huge family or this big. If you've ever experienced a big family. You know, you have family as a unit or whole. So, you know, that's what we knew as kids coming up. You know, we knew family to be everybody. You know what I'm saying? Not just
until your grandma died.
Over her. You know what I'm saying? And grandma was still living. You know what I'm saying? Think of
when grandma died, fall apart.
What is that movie called?
Soul Food.
Yeah, think of Soul Food, you know what I'm saying? You see, they were still family in Soul Food, but as the family unit progressed, that table started getting thinner and thinner, and nobody was at the table no more. Why? Because everybody done branched out, and they done did their own thing. You know what I'm saying? Holding grudges, and, you know, separation has been at an all-time high. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Do you get it now?
Yeah. I feel you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I didn't understand the direction.
We have a female balance at ear, you know, a wise matriarch. Mark, I do see you, and I'm going to come back to you after Auntie LJ. You know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and speak on let's go ahead and let Auntie LJ run it. You know, it goes all the way back to rites of passage from Healthy Foundations, wisdom. This shit is a hot motherfucking mess. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very out of order. It's very disrespectful. You know, but I feel that everybody has a valid voice, and everybody has a right to be heard without being judged. Peace and love to you, Auntie
LJ. Yes, sir. I heard that.
Auntie Elza, you should be unmuted. We can't hear you. Isn't Elza? No, she's not unmuted. I am so sorry. Okay, now you are. I think you got Eli in the queue.
Okay.
All right.
Y'all hear me? Greetings. Greetings to everyone.
Greetings.
Peace, love, and light, even from our darkness. And before I get started, I want to set the tone for my energy being present. I am not coming in an attacking mode. I can only speak from my personal experiences and the things that I have been exposed to along my almost 50 years here on this planet. And what I will say to my brothers is I love y'all authentically in y'all 360. I don't always like the totality of the 360, but I love y'all. And so that is the foundation in which I am coming in the energy of our now. With that being said, a lot of what Mark said is on point, definitely on point. A lot of what the guests, is it Josh?
J-Mac.
Oh, okay, Jay. A lot of what he has said and his perspective since I've been on listening, because I was late, has been on point. What I will say is that this is a situation that we cannot do as a all and every diaspora and perspective. Everybody has their own ripples, and unfortunately, it's a lot of similarity. But the reasonings for things are uniquely different. We're dealing with a population of women who grandma is only 15 years older than the daughter. The daughter is only 15 years older than the child. So we have 3 to 4 what's called generations. When you know about generations, you know that generations are 33 and a third years apart. So you have mothers and grandmothers that are in the same generation. And then they're simple-minded and feeble-minded because the elders have died off. When we came into this 60s free love, free sex, everybody just do their own thing, we lost our connections to rite of passage. Well, what are you saying, Auntie LJ? Started dying off. Pawpaw had been molesting everybody in the household. So grandma was guilty for what she knew and didn't stop because it was just hold on, baby. Y'all married. Let's just stay together. Family secrets tore down the family dynamic of the value of male or female anything. Now, I just want to touch on one point here. Child molestation has been going on since children have been. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
This is an energy, an entity, okay? So we dealing with guilt. We dealing with lack of understanding. We're dealing with people sitting back and saying, well, I survived it so my kids can survive it. So this is even before we get into the diaspora of, who my child's father is. A lot of women and men separated from the union of marriage because they seen the dysfunction of marriage in grandma and great granny's home, where the women were docile and quiet about what Papa was doing. So how do you have a level of respect for the union of marriage when you know that it has a lot of BS attached to it in the overall tearing down of the children and keeping this generational curse of child pedophilia,
absolutely,
child molestation, things like that going on in the marriage diaspora. So then you get this I am woman, hear me roar, woman's libs, the 70s. You know, I can do this by myself. As long as I can get some food stamps and some Section 8, I'll be okay. So we removed the man from the house. We were dealing with psychosis from the military. We were dealing from psychosis of these psychotropic drugs and nobody being aware of who they were prior to who they were becoming. So when we sit back and we have these conversations about the child, children are sponges. What do you mean by that?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you tell them. It matters what you show them. Because when you start counteracting what you're saying and that goes against what you're doing, now there is no rite of passage, there is no bridge of hope, and there is no trust. Everybody is now in the family diaspora, which is contradiction. You tell me don't cheat, But you and Papa stayed married, but Papa got a family outside of the main family, and you had two kids that ain't Papa's kids, but they got Papa's name. They're not Papa's kids, but they got Papa's name. So when we start integrating all of this level of confusion, now you got the 80s babies. And the 80s babies is, fuck y'all. We just going to figure it out.
What, yo.
Okay.
Exactly. 87. So, that is my mindset. Like, it's bad,
so,
I know.
So,
it's terrible.
Hold on. Let me just get to the meat. Let me just get it to the meat. We touching the skin. Now let me get it to the meat. When you know better, you do better, regardless on who taught you what.
Well,
when you know better, you do better. Jay, I want to give you kudos because you could have went and put your child's mother on child support. And this is my moment to be on the big payback and hit her for a little $50. Women are putting men on child support, not understanding the corporation. You put your baby's daddy on child support. You're not really understanding that because you're getting food stamps, Medicaid, Section 8, and you might not get a check, a cash check, but you're getting food stamps, Medicaid, and Section 8. The corporation then takes that money and says that this is what he's going to pay. The father is going to have to pay back on the child percentile, which is normally 33% of that father's income, back to that child. But what you're not understanding is that if you stop worrying about being able to screw him and make a point to his new women that you were always still going to be prevalent and relevant in his life because you had a child for him, then you could have a relationship with him that would show your child that you were, that the child is made from love. And because the child is made from love, you and the father can still be communicable, still have a level of respect, and show that child that from that respect, it is welcome that there is another entity or individual that is there. So now not only do you have two parents, but you can have three parents or four parents, and now we start to rebuilding the family diameter or diaspora of common unity of the, exactly
polygamy.
Not everybody screwing each other. Not everybody fucking with each other. Not dykes and gay people and all this bullshit. But this is my child. I am now spiritually, even if not governmental, married to this man on my energy, and I'm going to support, if I love him, I love his children, and if he loves me, he loves my children, and if we loving each other's children, then now we have a community of family, and our spiritual family outweighs our natural family 100 to 1 anyway, so now we are a unity that is common, community. Whoa. But we're not doing that. We're not doing that, and we don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
We really don't know how to do that. And we're, hold on, yeah. Let me just touch on what you guys have been touching on so that I can catch up, and then we're all on the same page. Now, to these men and women that are now in 2021, and you're saying, okay, I ran off with my career and I wanted to have something because my mother raised me on food stamps and my grandmother raised her on food stamps and Papa was a Rolling Stone and my father didn't know how to come to the table and say, I can't deal with your daughter, but I would like to deal with you as a liaison or a bridge to helping me deal with my children. This is what the relationship between the man and the grandparents should have been if you had a silly woman, or the woman and the grandparents if you had a silly man, because they were always there. Grandma would have supported you picking up your child from her house so that you didn't have to go to her daughter's house and fight if she was a wise grandmother. Because it wasn't about the mother, it was about the grandchild. Papa would have brought the child to the neighborhood store so that you could get your child from the neighborhood store and he could then support you. And, you know, he cut up in school last week and I got on him, but I told him I was going to let you know. So any festivities that you have going on for him, get on his case before you give him fun, because he needs a balance between all of the men that are in the family. See, these are things that we stop doing, and these are the simple levels of rite of passage that could be passed down. We think in rite of passage you're going to be in Africa around a bonfire and you're going to tell folklore. No, rite of passage is when that child does something that is incorrect, the entire family stands on supporting the decision that this child is going to be reprimanded in a way that is healthy and helps redirect that child on a healthy path. We're not doing that. Now, for me personally, I have three children 10 years apart. None of my children's fathers gave my children anything but the name. And I mandated that my children would be named after their fathers because I was dealing with men who were physically men, but they weren't mentally men. And I and women like me have to get in a position where we understand that it is, again, is not what he told you, but what he showed you. Because at the end of the day, we get stigmatized just like men get pussy whipped, and we're all caught up in the carnal nature of it all, not understanding that our reproductive cycles and our spiritual beings are connecting in ways that we haven't connected with our own individual selves. People are 30, 40, 50 years old fucking and don't know how to fuck because they've never understood that you were fucking yourself up instead of connecting with somebody that could give you higher elevation, higher motivations, higher stimulations, higher. And it wasn't about a dollar. It was about the energy of what the two of you came together with, understanding that if we create a child from our connection mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, then this child was going to have a healthy foundation because of our elevation. A lot of us are running around talking about what we think we are, still in the illusion of inclusion of what we have not realized we are in the now. It's not who you want people to think you are. This universe is going to give you what the fuck you are. So if you think that you the shit and still stinking, but you still ain't the shit in your reality, it's because, boo-boo, you not the shit and still stinking. You growing in your knowing, but you haven't reached your plateau. And so it's, why do I get all these guys and they don't want to be fathers? Because you're dealing with guys that aren't ready to be fathers. And even though he has a phallus and can make a baby, he's not mentally in tune, because it doesn't take money to raise a child, first of all. Let's get that off the table. It does not take money to raise a child. We have been raising children in bushes and goddamn mud huts and caves and any goddamn thing, or cardboard boxes even, if that's what you had. Women have raised brilliant sons out of the fucking Pinto from 1978 because that's all she had. They lived in a car. Children have been raised in shelters that had no connection to their parents and become doctors and lawyers and everything. And the state was paying those facilities, but the children didn't get one thin dime. So it does not take money to raise a child. It takes community. It takes love. It takes dedication. It takes responsibility and accountability to raise a child. Now, I have three children 10 years apart. The man that created the children were never positive men. But the men who came in to try to attach to me and knew that I stood on my ground, that it was a package deal, those men would then rear the child before I had their child. Then when I had their child, they didn't want to be around for that because it was a level of jealousy for my nurturing to the child and no more being focused on the man. See, a lot of these women stay focused on the man and they not nurturing the child. Then when the child becomes a man, you stupid like your father, and you send him out into the world to find a silly woman like you that's going to nurture him and not the children. That's a problem. Okay? That's an issue. Now, we're dealing in a diaspora where we're now recognizing it. And it's at a place where a lot of men and women don't have children today, but they're getting in relationships where their natural ability to nurture, their natural inability to love, and their natural inability to see the child as a child and want to be a positive influence in that child's life from the love of their partner. This is now the best thing since hot motherfucking cornbread, if you ask me, because being a parent has nothing to do with your biological state. Being a parent means that you're pairing with somebody to rent the space in a child's mind to plant fertile seeds and fertile ground to support responsible parents to come. That's what parenting is about. Are y'all ready to be parents?
Are you asking?
I'm asking.
Oh, that's just...
I'm asking.
I've been there.
I'm sure not.
Why you not?
I've been there.
Why you not?
Because I don't want to.
Jay, I know you. Okay, say that. Say I don't want to. Don't say
you
not.
Say that.
And I'm going to help you understand.
I don't want to.
No, right. But, and I'm going to help you understand why I'm saying what I'm saying to you, nephew. Because you deal with a lot of children in your employment and different things, you know, hanging out at the parks.
Yeah.
And you don't have any kids. You have fur babies. So you go to the park and the kids like your dog, and then all of a sudden, every time you go to the park, here come the kids. Hi, Mr. Keithon. Hey, buddy. How you? Now you become a surrogate parent in that park, because let the wrong motherfucker walk up on one of them babies that's playing with your dog, and I'm going to show you how you parent the rent in that child's life, because you're going to quit on crazy, and you're going to act a motherfucking fool. And that parent going to be like, what in the hell is going on with him? And this motherfucker over here fucking with your baby. But that's your baby, because in community, they all are babies. You see how you parent rent? So when we have that mindset.
I feel that. I'd appreciate that as a parent.
Exactly.
That's what I. That would secure me.
Exactly.
We
so
have
now
that.
I know. Did we?
I feel that we have had it because growing up in the 80s and the 70s, like, we lived in our apartment complex, and as you were speaking, I had an epiphany that's exactly what that was. Everybody took care of
everybody. We had it?
I don't know.
But it died when they died. You see what I'm saying? It died when they died.
That generation,
the generational of it. So I'm giving you the science in layman terms. We had it.
No, I got you.
Anything that you had before, you should have the science to create again. This is called experience. And so why is had even in the same verbiage or sentence if we had it? Because when you have it, you don't let it go. We had it.
Can I add to that? I want to add something just as a parent. Right now in this time and space, my daughter doesn't have that because COVID literally killed it. I'm literally everything. Like, I'm the nice dude next door. I'm her teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like everything. And to be quite honest, it's actually exhausting a lot of the times because of the real world realities. You know, like bills and having to work or whatever, and what that does, and what I'm understanding, like the appreciation I get out of it is I have the opportunity to do it. I was in the military. I don't really have to get a job, you know. So it's like I'm able to be around her, and I am so happy. Like in COVID, they have me like this because I would be fucked up if I was in the night, if some shit like this went down. I don't know what the AIDS epidemic did to our minds mentally, like in that time and space. Like, can you imagine that pandemic? Like that.
Right, but I
want to.
Yeah, that was.
I want to shout out the Mr. Mom,
yeah.
Mr. Mom.
Yes.
And you have people that want to step back and say, you know, well, he's taking on the woman's role. But didn't the woman take on the man's role? Now she wants all these damn degrees. She's money motivated. She want to bring home the bacon and the eggs and the chicken. And she's overly independent. And so when men see me.
To the point where she's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now a message to my brothers. You want her to bring in an income. You want her to take care of the kids. You want her to take care of you. You want her to do this. She's one entity. You can't expect for a woman to take care of the house, have a job, take care of the kids, do this, and be mentally sound. For the brothers that say, my mother did it, but look at your mother today. Your mother did it, but look at your mother today. She's withdrawn. She's depressed.
Okay.
She's oppressed. She's not healthy because she took on all of the roles. And then you look at the woman, who took on, I'm just going to be the mother, and I have to allow Section 8 and food stamps because the fathers of these children are not in a mental space to say, well, she's not working, and yet she's working a job that she's never going to be compensated for financially. But she's in her right mind. My children are stable and well-rounded. When I go over there, there's always a healthy meal because she's prepping throughout the day as she works and does the homework, and she's straightening up and she's keeping clean, and she's reminding you to do the things that you said were important for the adult diasporas of running a house. Your finances are cool. She's making sure that the things you can't do outside of the house are tended to and well-managed inside of the house. Oh, but she's getting these benefits. And guess what? We aren't fucking, but she's my best friend, and my children are healthy because they see that you don't have to sleep with somebody to love them. Oh, did we forget that? Did we forget
that? We forgot all about that.
Exactly, Jay. And so, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to say this and then come on, Mark. So, when we do this separation, because it's needed. Even in the universe, things have to separate to come back together. This separation is necessary. But in this separation, we must now look at our individual selves, line that up, and then apply what is needed from that smorgasbord and leave the rest. Leave the rest. For me, in my life right now, I have been gifted with a soul that loves all of me. And when I say that he loves all of me, he loves me and he loves my children. He is supportive. He is the father that I wish all of my children had been birthed from, literally, with every fiber of his being. And it came naturally. It isn't fake. Mm-hmm. It isn't phony. It doesn't have an ulterior motive behind it. And it is stabilizing and securing. And if we learn people to get our foundation built on trust and friendship, we can blossom into the garden of what we call Earth as a people of the earth, managers of the earth, managers of community, managers of common unity, and we wouldn't have all of these undertones that are steadily breaking and tearing us down. The universe had a plan, and the plan is we can't do this shit without one another, so we better figure out how to do this shit with each other. Come on, Mark.
All right. Now, with that being said, before you come in, Mark, I just want to let you guys know. Yes, man. Yes. This is what we do. We do this every weekend, Jay. Just to let you know.
I needed that.
This type of shit every weekend, bro. Good. Just to let the audience know, and to those who listen, you know, I hope that you guys have pen and paper when you're listening to these broadcasts. If not, you guys can definitely run this back. But there are two books that I want to give you guys. Mark is the scholar of these books. Mark is the one who, shout out to Mark, you know what I'm saying? Mark is a good friend. Me and Mark been rocking for years. But when it comes to the literary aspect of it, Mark is your guy, right? So Mark had actually bought a book, and I wanted to backdoor him and be, you know, like, okay, what my brother read, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to backdoor him and get the book myself, right? He got the hard copy, but I got the audio. But, guys, this book, I think it's been about a month. I'm on chapter 7 personally, but this is one of those books where you got to literally pause it and decode it, like, whoa, wait one fucking minute. Guys, these people have, not only them, you know what I'm saying, because we have to get outside of them and they, you know, what have we done in
our own backyards? We have to be responsible. We can't keep saying them. We have to be responsible.
Yeah, just to let Adam know, you have to let me know if you want to speak, and I have to call on you. You know what I'm saying? It's an orderly fashion. So give me one second. Okay. All right. So so just to let you guys know, we got another hour and 30 minutes before they cut us off, and I know a lot of us have a lot to say, a powerful topic. Anyway, guys, let me cut myself short because a lot of people want to weigh in on this. So, Koopa. The first book is The Man Not by Tommy J. Curry. The man, if you got a lot of background noise, can you mute for me? If you know that there's background noise,
mute your phone.
Yeah, mute your phone for me. Or if that's you, Mark, go to a quiet place.
I'm sorry.
One of y'all. Okay, it's
yeah,
all good.
Just mute your personal phone.
All right, it's all good. So,
there it is.
So, you guys. The first book is The Man Not, you know, Race Class, you know, and this is by Tommy J. Curry. And the second book is what Mark sent next. I have not read yet, but it's called The Negro Family, The Case for National Action. And I'm not sure. This is probably – Mark could tell you guys, but this is probably I think it's a government document maybe. But anyway, those are two things that you may want to get just to kind of get understanding. Now, I want to also let the world know this, guys. We do not waddle in racism. You know, we love a lot of my best friends. You know, I personally date Hispanic, personally. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not racist by far. A lot of my best, two of my bestest friends are white. You know what I'm saying? So I love everybody. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we specifically target certain, you know, areas, you know, when we have conversations. But I also invited my white brother on too, you know what I'm saying, because this is about balance, you guys. This is about balance. We're about balance over here, you know what I'm saying. This is what this world has to come back to as far as balance. Till I think even Jay is biracial, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, this is not about race. You know what I'm saying? This is about, you know, what we all have to come together as a collective whole, you know, and as we begin to start to understand what the fuck unity is and then coming back into it. As Auntie said, we already have it. We just have to tap back in. So, Mark, run it. And then, Adam, I'll bring you in after Mark.
Mark, you are unmuted.
Hold on, let me see. You probably need to unmute on your end, Mark. Damn, did I bring you back in? Hold on, where you at? Nah, it's my bad. All right, there you go, Mark. There you go.
Okay. And I just party fell. It's okay. All right, now back to it. Yeah, the Man Nut is a very excellent book. It coincides, I'll say, with, like you said, The Negro Family is also called the Moynihan Report because it was written by Moynihan, and it was a government document. And when it was first made, it was not to be released publicly and specifically supposed to be for certain government bar parties and specifically for the president. And I have to commend Moynihan for doing this report because he actually wanted to bring a solution to our community by showing what the problem is on many dynamics. Now, I do want to digress and go back to what LJ was saying and things like that, but I'm going to have to open up the table to both things. Now, I'll say there were times where Grandpa might have been wrong on certain things like that. At the same time, Grandma wasn't always right, and at the same time, Grandma was put under certain circumstances during those times. to where I'm going to have to bring in a fortunate race relations issue to where a lot of people don't know where the term honky comes from. Well, I'm going to break it down to this time period to explain the trauma then to what happened to us then so we could get to what's going on now. Now, back in the days, I'll say pre-World War II, segregation was not as much and things like that, but between the time from before World War II, after World War II, which we'll log into, which the port goes over briefly, but I will say this, what it doesn't cover, and this the term honky. Now, the black woman at that time, if she had any occupation at all, usually it would be one or two jobs, but basically one of the same. It was in the household, being a housemaid and or a nanny, or being the housemaid and the nanny. But you could see that on example on the movie The Long Walk Home with Whoopi Goldberg, and then when they were doing the bus strike and everything else, and all of them were walking from various housemaid's jobs and doing that. But they show you in that movie with the atrocities that these housemaids had to go through. Yeah, they were a housemaid, and they was the house prostitute. And during those times, which would be upsetting, was they would have to do things. So unfortunately, mom might have a baby that's not the same color as the rest of the kids. We don't talk about that shit.
I brought it up.
We brought it up, but it's in the family. But you said what grandpa did. We talking about grandma now coming home pregnant.
No. I said grandmother has children that have granddaddy's name that are not his children.
Oh, I missed that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah, I did. I brought that up. I touched on that, Mark. Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
Okay, but now I'll say this. You need to this story. Now, during this time at night, because certain people can mix at night, what the Europeans would do, the Albion Europeans, they would come and drive through the so-called black neighborhoods and honk their horns, and the black women would come out to service the men in the cars, and that's where you get the term honky from that diaspora. Yep.
Yep. He's
now,
not lying.
Now I'm going to bring up some very vital information here real quick. which is off the government document, which is still plagues us actually to date, which means it's actually more amplified. In essence, the Negro community has been forced into a matriarchal structure because of its soul out of line with the rest of American society, seriously retards the progress of the group as a whole, and imposing a crushing burden on the Negro male, and in consequence, on a great many of Negro women as well. The presumably not so special reason why a social society in which males are dominant in family relationships is to be referred to as a matriarchal arrangement. However, it is clearly a disadvantage for a minority group. Now, mind you, this was written in 1965, but this is going on today. With the disadvantages of minority group to be operating on one principle while the great majority of the population and one with the most advantages to begin with is operating on another. This is the present situation of the Negro. Our society is which presumes the male leadership in private and public affairs. The arrangements of society facilitate such a level of leadership and reward it. A subculture such as that of the Negro American in which this is not the pattern, is placed at a distinct disadvantage. However, in an earlier world of caution, we should it should be repeated. Now, this is important. Now, this is the evidence of considerable number of Negro families that have managed to break out of the tangle of pathology to establish itself as stable. Now, this is important. I'm going to leave this last two sentences. Now, since it says this. Now, it says, E. Franklin A. Frazier has suggested that the middle-class Negro family is, if anything, more patriarchal and protective of its children than the general run of such families. Given the opportunities of the children of others, these families will perform as well or better than their peers. They need no help from anyone and ask none. So what they mean is we're out of a certain mindset capacity and we're operating, we actually go with the status quo and go better instead, and it says it right there. So when we break out of that society to where that role and things are reversed and we put that balance back, this is the government saying things work out better. It works out better because this is, man, because this is a study, and they're talking to kids and looking at the families and doing this, and the main concern about this documentary is about the children, how they're being affected.
Mm.
Another part of it, what temporary slum and minority youth probably in lack and similar children in earlier periods possessed is not motivation, but some minimal sense of competence. We are plagued with these youth by what appears to be a low tolerance for frustration. Sounds like millennials, but this is 1965. They are not able to absorb setbacks. Minor irritants and rebuffs are magnified out of proportion to reality. Sounds like social media, 1965. Mm. So all this means
all by design.
Yes, but in the same report, it's showing that when we're given opportunities to do things because Moynihan wanted to set up the situations for us to do, because they're showing when they fucked it up with the what they call talk about everything else. This same document shows that, unfortunately, our black women, when it came to the welfare system, when things were more stable immediately, because right at this time, their black families were strong, this, that, or whatever. But there was a slight thing going on. But as soon as we made for the equal opportunity certain things, unfortunately, we were pushed out the homes, and that's why the numbers are exaggerated today. So when it came to a choice, when do you want to work with your man or do your own thing, overall, the numbers say the women wanted to do their own thing on certain things, and then the government's manipulated and amplified the situations to make these numbers worse in our community, to where if they say if we see what's going on, they could do it, we could get out and do it. But if we set to a certain pathology, we won't get out of it. So we need to get out of a pathology and thought to where what we think is right is still fucking us up. We can get it together.
Yeah. There it is.
Because
there
of the same thing, we talked about what happens to white, black, and other families, and one hand was concerned because, not because it isn't white, because he came from the same environment as a so-called European. He came from a nice middle-class family. Their family divorced. He had to live with a single mother in the ghettos and things like that, and it came to the same experiences that we did, and realized that he, even though he had a different skin tone, he was granted privileges that he took, but he wanted to come back and help us. He fought harder for us. You can watch news reports on YouTube where the European, his so-called people are going off at him because he's an advocate for us. Mm. Yeah. So I salute Daniel P. Moynihan and his efforts for what he tried to do. Even when you watch, I can show you a video. It's called Freedom is Not Enough, the Moynihan Report and the American Struggle Over the Black Family Life. And they go over a lot of these things I'm saying. And when you hear about the concern that people that are not our color are in trying to help us and work behind the scenes because they knew that other government was trying to, you'll be like, wow, we got to get together and we can work together.
You need to call.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for all of that, Mark. Let me go ahead and get my the top of the hour, guys, just to let you guys know. Jay, I know I invited you for 2 hours, you know what I'm saying, but just to let you know, we can go 3. So if you still have like another hour left in you, you know, or if you have to go, definitely understand. I want to go ahead and bring in Marco because you are, because, okay, you good? Okay.
I'm good for another.
I recommend just one more book?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a very good book that I recommend for black men for on the healing side. I just got it. I'm reading through the table of contents and things like that. Now, it was recommended by Kevin Samuels by a friend. His name is Mumia Obsidian Ali. I think his name is Brother Obsidian or something like that on YouTube, but he wrote The Book of Obsidian, a manual for the 21st century black American gentleman.
Ah. Okay, you said Book of Obsidian?
The Book of Obsidian. You can buy it, I believe, on Amazon.
What's the author name?
Mumia Obsidian Ali. A manual for the 21st. Go ahead.
Can you take a picture of the book that you have in hard copy and place them in the group?
I can do that.
People are looking to buy them. They can actually see what the title looks like, what the cover looks like, and what the author's name is, so they can Google it appropriately.
And also, you could go to Google and Google the Moynihan Report and the same report that I sent to Keith on, you all can get as well. It is free. It is now public access to get this document. And I, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's something that all of us should read so we can identify and what to do, to where in the first chapter, he goes over the whole histories and even deeper back to slavery, to where all the points that LJ covered, he covered very deep as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other books and sources that I could refer to and things like that, to where I believe it's called, it's by a psychologist named, I got to order it so I don't have the copy yet because I just was hearing the document. I want to get to where he refers a lot of information from the 1930s book by, or 40s by a black psychologist named Keith Cooper. And the book is called Dark Ghetto. If you can buy a used copy, buy a used copy. Because if you buy on certain ones, I've seen it go as much as $400 to $500. And so when they have books going that high, you know they got something in it and that they're hiding. But I did find it on a used book site for as cheap as $13.
Okay.
Ooh. Gotta
and if anybody has these books in PDF, please share the link.
He already knows.
PDF.
I got a PDF.
Oh, I'll send it to you. I'll send that to you.
Okay.
I got a stupid PDF library that's just on all kinds of everything.
What I would suggest, Mark?
I got hundreds of PDFs.
What I would suggest for you is if you can make a post for those of us that are on your friends list and different stuff. If you can make a post in, like, some of the groups and as well, or copy that post or share a link from the original post so that the knowledge that you're finding is available. Because what I want to say to us as a people.
A lot of the information I share and I'll post already publicly.
Auntie, before you go in, Auntie, on that, let me go ahead and get my disclaimer real quick because the deadline cut us off. So just to let you guys know, if you're listening in the background, they're about to cut us off. The number to call in is going to be area code 929-477-3423. Again, 929-477-3423. Press 1 only if you want to be a part of the broadcast, guys. Joanne, thank you so much for listening. Guys, if you are in the Facebook group, if you are in the Facebook group, guys, in the show notes, I haven't been putting it in the show notes lately, but it's Enhancing Awareness Radio in a Facebook group, and it's like a little green eye, you know, like a third eye. That's our group, guys. Go ahead and join our group because in the announcement section, I always post a live show. So to keep up with what's going on in this particular broadcast, guys, go in our group, go under announcement. And I just put the book that he said in the live show, okay? So that's where you can find it. Again, guys, the Book of Obsidian, and the author is spelled M-U-M-I-A, Obsidian, O-B-S-I-D-I-A-N, and the last name is Ali, right? So that's the book, guys.
You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy the book on Amazon. It is going rapidly to where when I ordered it, I had to pre-order it to where when I heard to go get it, I got it, and I had to pre-order the book because it was already sold out. They sell out that fast. Wow. So if they have copies, you can get it right away, but you might have to wait a week or two like I did. When you got it, it does come to you. It is a very fast-going book, The Book of Obsidian, and I suggest it for all black men.
For black men, guys, all of those books, guys. So if you want, I'm going to put all of the books in the Facebook group that we suggested. So that was just one, but I'm going to put all three. But, guys, I'm on Amazon right now.
And I'll post the pictures of them, too.
We spend that
at
McDonald's, okay? LJ, go ahead, and we do have another guest who wants to come on.
Okay, that's fine. What I want to say, because this is a mindset that we're starting to take on, and I see it everywhere, you know, I had to do the knowledge. I had to do the work, so other people have to do the work. I get that. But knowledge is power, and it is to be shared. If the universe brings you to a situation, you have what you need to get through that situation, even if it doesn't look like that. So when people have knowledge and you want to charge people for the knowledge you have, that's a problem. You attain the knowledge so that you could give the knowledge to your people. Your knowledge is not just your very own. And we are responsible and we are accountable for what is outside of us and how it is taking on and manifesting itself. When we have the keys to help people shift and change it, and we're hoarding that because we're in our ego and states of greed. Give what you got to the rest of us to receive. And then once you do that part, that's all you have to do. You're not responsible for us picking it up. You're not responsible for us, you know, digging into it and doing what needs to be done in its regard. But you are responsible for hoarding it. So I am asking that anybody that has informative information that can help us as a people be a better people, share it. The universe will pay you. Don't worry. You might not have a heart attack because you gave somebody a book. You might not have to deal with a car accident because you gave somebody some knowledge. You might avoid things that are awaiting you, that are in the negative and narrative, because you connected with the positive of being a giver. The greatest gift that you can ever give somebody is keys to be a better somebody. And what does that mean? That means that we are attached to common unity. The greatest gift that you can ever give somebody is the activated knowledge. Because when you know how it works for you, you can support them in understanding how it could work for them.
There it is.
We have options, family. Let's give options.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Let me say this real clear, you know, since we're talking about family and stuff like that. You know, we have a lot of children in these families, you know what I'm saying, to where what I have noticed in our family units is sometimes what we do is we hoard information. We don't tell the – sometimes we may not tell the kid who their real father is because of this reason. Like, we play these dangerous games. And we play them with our children, and we keep secrets from them, you know what I'm saying, just so they can't. Parents are also jealous of children, too. Let's be very clear.
Yes, they
are.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yes, they are.
So, I mean, and some of the shit that you just, that you may not want to believe is true, sometimes it's true, you guys. You know what I'm saying? So do not be very clear. You know what I'm saying, on who's who, when you got some type of feeling. And this does not mean that you have to hate him. I know a lot of us are moving through anger in order to get where, and I'm glad I'm speaking on this to bring in our next guest. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as we push through all of that, guys, it is very dangerous to hoard information about the family and to hoard information about, you know, from the child. And to keep these, quote, family secrets or whatever the fuck has been going on. You know what I'm saying? If
Bingo.
A child has to go, if a child has to go to their ancestor's grave because they know magic and dig up an ancestor just for the truth, that is sad. And all these, I wanted to say all these bitches should be shamed, but you should be shamed to hoard information from an innocent child to stunt his growth. You should be shamed for that. With that being said,
and I want to add, let me add just 2 seconds.
And then Adam, we're bringing you in.
Stop
okay.
living through your children. You gave them life.
Yeah.
You did not give them lives. You gave them life. Stop trying to make your shit their shit. Stop trying to live. You wanted to be a dancer. Now your baby got to dance, and she don't even like dancing. Your son, you wanted to be an architect, and now you jumping on your son about being an architect. And stop doing that shit. You gave them life. It's a whole lot of children out here ain't never known their mothers and fathers, and they living. Let your children live their lives. Stop living through your children. And go back to your inner child and fix the shit that your mammy and your daddy ain't motherfucking wasn't prepared to help you do. At some point, it's no longer your parents' fault. At some point, it is your responsibility to pick up your fragmented pieces, sit at the table with your ass, and put your shit back together for you.
There it is. There it is.
Now, with that,
let's go ahead. With that, guys, let's go ahead. And Auntie, thank you so much for that.
Y'all
you
just pissed me off. Let me go get my stuff.
I love our women, but a lot of our children are fucked up. But we are passing as generations. You know, we're cycling the same stuff over again, sometimes subconsciously, which means unknowingly passing down these same behaviors, these same traits, these same traditions, because we're afraid to speak up. You know what I'm saying? We're afraid to confront mama, or we are afraid to go against the family. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not telling anybody to go against their families or do none of that. But, you know, y'all, really, the world, and anybody who has an ear to hear, when do we stand up? When do we stand up, and when do we really take, like, an effective change, you know, to make some shit happen instead of going around a mulberry bush for 100 more years? Do we really? Can we even afford that?
And we can't.
We cannot. Before you guys jump in, Adam, please, go ahead. Hey, grab the mic right now, Adam. Peace, brother. Adam, you are on, brother. You may want to grab the mic now, bro. You may be muted on your end. Adam, we cannot hear you, sir. Are you 708? Oh, shit. Is that Joanne? Did he hang up?
Oh, he may have hung up. Hold on, y'all.
Can you hear me now?
Numbers is him.
Yeah, there we go. All right. I'm sorry, right. Joanne hung up, damn it. So,
you
right.
know,
Adam.
Like, what?
No,
so
go ahead.
I saw the topic of conversation, but you know what? Like, for real, like, it's not even about color. It's about the soul. And, you know, when my sister was talking about some stuff going on, like, back in her time, like, you know, my son, I didn't even find out about him till he was 15 months old. His mom kept him from me. Then I had to go to court. And the judge looked at her dead in her face and said, hey, you can either choose your boyfriend or your son. Guess what she chose?
A boyfriend?
So now
my
what?
God.
What?
My
so now
God.
We have
my
him
God.
With my son. No, nah, like, I don't know, like,
a
women.
A boyfriend. Not
like,
even a husband.
It's not. Man, it's not even about color. It's not about race. It's not about male or female. It's about being a decent person in this world. And if you ain't a decent person in this world, if you don't have love for these people, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like this shit is sad, man. And it's not fair. It's not fair because I've gone through some shit, like, and my son is experiencing what I went through as a kid. Her boyfriend's arm knocked his teeth out.
What?
And her brother molested him. Like,
oh,
it's
hell.
Not fair.
Oh, wow.
It's not fair. And that's why
no,
I try
no.
to go about my life and show people love every single day. Yeah, I might be a little harsh, and I might be a little brash, and, you know, whatever, but, you know, I do what I do out of love because I care about people. I don't want to see people go through what I went through, and I don't want to see people go through what my son went through. You know,
yeah.
Talking about family, you know, Keydon and Smash, like, y'all are my people. Like, I look at y'all like family, and I love y'all. And I thank y'all for being in my life, for real. Because y'all are
the
people love and my own blood.
Yeah.
We need each other,
I appreciate
y'all.
That. I want to speak
so,
on what Adam just said, if I may.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let Jay
no,
talk.
What
ahead.
No, this is not. I don't have a whole lot to say, but what Adam is saying is very real. And what happens is when these kids grow up and things happen to them like that, right? And they spend their entire life trying to repress it. Like, you got to understand how awkward a lot of these Thanksgivings are. When we got uncles that, like, people, like, the family trying to protect. You get what I'm saying? So in the moment, it's sad when you choose anything other than your child, because everything you choose will eventually hurt the child in some way, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, like, for whatever reason, angry women, I'm not going to say all women, I'll just say angry and bitter women, they just kind of void that out. They just don't go through the pain. They just coat it with a Band-Aid, with a boyfriend, with a drug, whatever the case may be.
Can I say something right here in this?
And room? I had to sit. Let me say this first, my sister. Let me say this first.
Mm-hmm.
I had to sit 4 feet away from this dude in the courtroom.
My God.
And watch him testify to what he did. And it took everything inside of me not to jump across that fucking table and beat the dog shit out of him.
I get it.
I want to address men directly right now.
Okay.
I'm not your children's mother. But as a woman, as a mother of sound mind, body, and energy, I want to apologize to y'all. I want to apologize for the situations that have reared up in your lives and the pains that you have had to endure by silly women who all they had to offer you was a portal to your seed. I want to apologize.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to apologize to you for you guys dealing with these women and not knowing your worth, your strength, your power when you were dealing
Thank
with
you
them.
For that.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize to the inner child that is you that feels like you have nobody listening. I stand before you today as a mother of this planet and give you my humble apologies for the insufficient availabilities and capabilities of my sisters that have infiltrated your souls. I'm sorry.
You know, when I was 12 years old, my stepsister molested me. When I was 15, my stepbrother molested me. And still to this day, I'm 37 years old. My parents will still not listen to me. They don't want to believe it. So I'm really out here, like, doing this by myself. I'm trying to heal by myself.
Let me also just share with you guys, you know, my situation as far as just real brief. I knew one of my uncles, who was my first molester, you know what I'm saying? I knew that he molested me, you know, between the ages of 4 and 7, you know. I knew that he was my first molester. And he was the baby boy, mind y'all. He the baby boy. So all of the sisters have always protected the baby boy. So, you know, dare I say anything or dare I bring up how my uncle used to shove his dick in my mouth at age 6, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
my
God.
Uncle Junior, you know what I'm saying? At age 6,
oh, my God.
Look, like, they all just used me, you know, the men that just, you know, was around and stuff. I'm not hurt by it, you know what I'm saying? But it's just the fact that my mom, even though she may make drugs or crack or whatever, you know, and then people judge me or how when y'all see me being angry and saying these things about my mom, y'all don't understand the type of shit my mom allowed happen to me. You know, so when y'all see me being disrespectful at times, you know,
I never judge you, bro. Like, I get it.
I mean, I know that, but allow me my space sometimes, because sometimes the level of disrespect that these parents have done to their very own children that they pushed out of their womb
Come on, man.
Say that.
Man, I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Can I
have some morality shit? Are you fucking real when you ain't even asked?
That hurts my heart.
That little boy, if he was okay, you ain't called brother and asked your brother, is your brother okay? You ain't called him. You ain't checked on him since you knew the situation. But you want to make a post and judge him. Okay.
Bro,
I'm gonna let you know, and I don't care if I have to do this in public, but I'm gonna let you know, bro.
Let I've got a half brother that won't even speak to me because of our mom, because she was addicted to crack and alcohol while she was pregnant with me. That's why I was born with all the medical disabilities that I was born with. I wasn't supposed to live past 6 months. You know, but then I found out last year I've got a whole half-sister that I'm not even allowed to meet because my dad told me, and I quote, if you go looking for her, I'm going to disown you. Really?
Yeah.
Let me just address this, and this is for across the board. Everybody who can procreate is not meant to be a parent. This is why we have people who have not procreated ever on the planet. We have people who have barren wombs and barren phalluses that have the nurturing to be the parent. And they're not going to have children of their own. But they are here to fill the void of the animalistic people who were only supposed to be portals for these souls coming back to this planet.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay? So we have to deal with that diaspora of this as well. A lot of people have children, and they're not meant to be the parent. They're just the vessel. So when we talk about... When we talk about, you know, you're my mother, but you didn't protect me. She was only supposed to be your mother. She was never supposed to become your
mommy.
Can I
say something? Hold on. Let me grab the mic just real quick from you. You know what I'm saying? As Elevate, and this is no class, no hierarchy, none of that bullshit. You know, this is straight compassion what we speak here is. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to let everybody know a place that I'm coming from, right? So it may appear that I'm angry. It may appear that I'm angry, but please know that that is the fire that I need to purify my healing path.
That's called passion.
Hold on. Okay, passion. The passion to purify, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is what a lot of us men do, the passion to purify. In order to tap into that higher perspective, please understand that I understand that my mother was only the portal, you know what I'm saying, to get me here. I get that on the highest level. Although, you know, in understanding it, you know, in putting your own pieces back together, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, bring all of those old pieces out. You know what I'm saying? And you have to start to, you know, kind of, okay, make sense of each puzzle piece. You know, so in that passion and purifying your healing path, us men bring out those puzzle pieces at times when we really want to heal just to kind of understand our very own puzzle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of men, shout out to the men again, guys, because Adam, you guys, everybody on this panel, all of y'all, you know, are taking the initiative to have the courage. And I know me and Adam, you know, I know personally for you, this has not been easy. Y'all heard Adam just tell you something. That's not even half the shit he's probably been through. That's not even half. A lot of us don't even tell our stories, you know what I'm saying, because we're too afraid. You know, I got a brother in my inbox right now. He like, I am scared as hell to do what I'm doing right now. I don't know why or how I'm doing this, but, you know, Spirit has led me to talk to you about it. You know what I'm saying? And he got a whole wife and three kids. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, these men don't know who to turn to, and they be in whole marriages, you guys, and they can't even talk to their own women or their own woman. You know, y'all, there is a problem with that. That is a problem.
Yep.
We want to come in y'all compassionately,
but every
time
you can't turn to your wife, how can you be at home in your own home? That is a miserable feeling.
Yeah,
and
with you and Smash being on this live, like y'all really like get me through my days for real. And now I'm so glad I met
other
people
can be there for you,
and like heard other people's stories. That warms my heart because like I feel like I'm alone out here, and now I feel like I met
more
family.
See.
Compassion.
We need each other, especially now, you guys. If y'all don't hear nothing else that I say, we need each other compassionately right now. Not no judgment. And I'm talking to the men as far as how we judge each other. You know, when we feel like we out of order and all of that shit, now is not the time to judge, sneak this, and point fingers. Now is the if you feel some type of way about what your brother did, call him up. Pull him to the side and be like, bro, you know what I'm saying? What you doing on the internet talking about your mama, bro, you know, I don't feel that that's, you know, right, but talk to your brother in compassion. You know what I'm saying? But when we out missing each other and doing all this underhanded shit and things we don't know, you know, us men, we know what we do. We know what we do, y'all. Come on, let's stop faking this shit. We know what the fuck we're doing to each other, and we got to stop doing that shit to each other if we really want to heal and if we really want to love our brother and all that shit like we say we want to do. Why are we not doing it?
Right.
I'm talking for real shit. I'm talking about 30, 40 years and 70 years. We know our daddy and them and shit. They all put on facades. They failed us. Straight up.
You know, I'll never forget.
That, but guess what? You're men today. And so because you're men today and you're willing to stand up and take your power back and go back into that inner child, you then become the father, the uncle, the brother to the inner child that is you. And you coach that child and you hold that hand and you bring that back to the surface of the man that you are today. And then when you get to that point where your cup is full, you allow that shit to run over so that you allow your spirit to show you other men that are going through what you have gone through, and you found a way and a path to rise and come above it, and you ask that brother instead of waiting for that brother to come to you, and you say, brother, do you need to talk? Brother, I feel something is on you, and I think that I might be able to be, if nothing else, a sounding board for you today. See, the problem is that we've allowed the physical to be a block to the spiritual. See, energy don't have no sex organs. It's just
exactly
energy. And we run around here feeling like if women especially, if a man, oh, they too touchy-feely, they gay. Oh, they always hugging, they gay. Do you know that your brain, just from a hug, amplifies its ability to absorb energy 1,000 times.
Oh, you were speaking something that I just talked about an hour ago with one of my friends. Like, people don't get that.
Hug.
I get it.
Just a hug.
That's
you
it.
Can be fully dressed, fully clothed amongst the public.
And it does not have to be sexual
people.
At all.
Just
at all.
Start hugging people. When did we forget to be intimate?
Exactly.
When did we forget
people's
to be
idea
intimate?
Of intimacy has
intimacy,
gotten so fucked up.
Hold on, baby. People's intimacy has nothing to do with sex.
Nope.
If I see a piece of lint on your eyebrow and I am in a position where you trust me enough to gently reach on your eyebrow and pull that piece of lint off because you didn't even know it was there, that is a form of intimacy. I am caring for you. Intimacy just means to care for something.
Exactly.
What is
wrong with
that?
I'm so glad I met you. Like, you got to send me a friend request.
Okay.
Okay, hold on, you guys. I have we have about 40 minutes left, right? So being that we only have 40 minutes left, guys, we're going to go ahead and bring this to a close because they will cut us off at the top of the hour. Any information after that will be lost. So to bring this to a close, Adam, I want to hear from you real quick. What is okay, it's not about race, but, you know, sometimes we have to make it about race in order to, you know, make a comment, you know. Okay, so what is it about, you know, because we want to bridge this, right? So what is your concerns when it comes, you coming from the same situation when it comes to the white family dynamic, you know, and then you see the black family dynamic, just being seeing both sides, what are your concerns as far as the bridge back to unity?
It's basically like it comes down to like really recognizing like that you're a soul, like you're not, and this is what religion tries to tell us, is, you know, you're a physical being having a religious experience. No, you're not. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience, and once you understand that,
a human experience.
Like,
you're a spiritual being.
You're not
having
a human being. You're a spiritual being. And once you understand that, that's where love comes in. And once you understand love, man, this shit that this world is trying to perpetuate against us and try to separate and divide us, that shit don't mean nothing. I don't care what color you are.
All right,
if I love you, I love you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much,
and people need to
guys.
Understand that.
You know, they, I mean, there is generational traumas, you know what I'm saying, and hurt that
it is.
Look, you got, look,
I'm here to break
to
all
world,
that.
Just to the world, you know what I'm saying, we have a lot of work to do, you guys. Like, I don't think we understand the level of work that we have to do. So, you know, crates and, you know, all of these challenges, you know, that doing, you know, I know it's cute and I know you love your imagery and, you know, all this type of stuff, but, you know, until we I don't want to say fix, because we are really never broken, you know, we would just probably
matured
a bit, if you will, you know. So you, just as we begin to, you know, each, it's going to start with you, no one can save you and all of that, you know, but really, you guys, if we don't tend to the shit in our very own backyard, easily distracted, I kind of don't know where this is going to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never really truly been concerned about humanity.
Yeah, we have to fix ourselves first.
But I'm concerned. I'm actually concerned because I'm concerned because of how easily distracted we can get. But you guys, matter of fact, it wasn't the universe shutting me down for 7 days when I was in Facebook jail. It was me shutting me down for 7 days because I actually willed it and watched myself will it. It was so beautiful. But in that, you know what I'm saying, to truly take a seat and to truly just observe me though, but observe me in the whole. You know what I'm saying? And observing me in the whole, you guys, I am concerned. I am very concerned. This is my wrap up, you guys, and we're wrapping up. We bring it because everybody has powerful voices and something to say. So we wrapping up, all right? So this is my wrap up.
Hey, do that,
guys,
man.
Please be sure to join us. I'm calling everybody to wrap up. Please limit it to 5 minutes if you can. You know what I'm saying, as far as your wrap-up is concerned. Thank you to the brothers, you know, who jumped on. Y'all know when I put some shit out, like, you know, it's some powerful shit. So like I told you, Jay, you know, it's to all of you. You know what I'm saying? We going to make history with this, what we did here today. You know, and this is not to help the damaged adults, but this is a letter to the youth. You know, these are letters that we do here, you know, in communion, you know what I'm saying? So to the youth, this is a letter to you to possibly help you to understand what happened and what we could possibly do in order to shape, in order to go in whatever direction you guys choose or whatever directions, you know. But, you know, even we're not telling you what to do, but we just want to leave a blueprint of what happened. for you, you know, outside of the Bible, okay? You know what I'm saying? Now, the Bible is a book of magic, but you have to be on a level to in order to decode it from what they give you. All right?
Man.
So join us, guys.
Bro,
I love you for who you are and what you do in this world.
Like, people don't understand.
Who is that?
A lot of people might not understand you, but I do.
Adam?
Like, and I love you for that, bro.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, Adam. Adam, thank you so much for coming on at the last minute. You know what I'm saying? Y'all hear him, you know, y'all probably hear the concerns. Sometimes you guys thank God for the internet, which they're probably about to take away. Just FYI.
I'm gonna message you.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna message you in a little bit.
Okay, but just FYI, which they're gonna try to take away because, you know, the energy in which wants to suppress us and go against us is gonna do anything in their power to just because it can't evolve. Is going to do, you know, it's kind of like the brat child, you know, to where if I'm not going to get my way,
it's
then I'm
available.
Make sure, but I'm
come on, bro.
On every level. That's what's going
yep.
on here, but it's also not to judge them, you know what I'm saying, or judge it. You know, it's just to kind of understand, you know, what the fuck is really going on and what we could
yep.
possibly do, you know, in moderation, in balance, what we could possibly do in order to bring all of this shit back in order. Now, mind you, Mother Nature is going to do it with or without humans.
Exactly.
Period.
Us having a human
period.
Experience,
period.
Baby. She can wipe us out tomorrow if she wanted to. But she has
ain't
enough
ready
compassion.
For this.
She has enough compassion, you know. See, this she here again is
if
for
100 years. People ain't gonna get this, man.
All right, so that's my wrap up, guys. Join us every discussions in the Black Room. You guys know Professor Cobble from Henny Colors. He's on our platform, you guys. Every other Tuesday, him and his daughters. So y'all can catch him and his daughters every other Tuesday here at the Hanson Awareness Radio. And then also, you guys can catch us every weekend. We do this every weekend, you guys. When I be posting shows and shit, this is what we do. It ain't no bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's some effective shit. Mark, you know,
right.
Like, you know, the Crumb was under me before, you know what I'm saying? But he branched out and did his own shit. But Crumb used to be under me, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of the brothers that you see on mainstream, Sensei, the White Jolly, you know, we all grew up together, you know, all of us niggas or whatever, you know, we all grew up together. So we all, Jamar Milton, you know, all of us, I'm proud of our brothers because everybody that I knew that I grew up in with the spiritual community, we all got our own businesses of sort. So if you,
you know what?
So shout out to everybody. Hold on, Adam. Hold on. So shout out to everybody, you know, who has come through Enhanced Awareness Radio. We definitely appreciate you, no matter our differences, you guys, because, again, when this shit is all over, it's compassion that's going to get us through. All right? So, Adam, being that you were the last guest, go ahead and wrap up, you know what I'm saying, just a message to the world that
say,
you want to leave with.
Man, I love you, bro. Like, you, like, are one of my best friends, and I don't like seeing you go through shit. So, like, I'm always going to have your back, and I will always be there and show you love, bro. Like, thank you for doing what you do in this world. You are a positive influence on this planet, bro, and I thank you for being who you are.
Thank you, bro. And likewise, you know what I'm saying? Me and Adam had our differences, you know. So, you know, brothers, we going to have differences. Brothers, we not going to agree. But if we want to shoot each other versus not talk to each other before we shoot each other, if that makes sense, you know, it's just if we not doing what needs to be done.
I'm always happier, bro.
I would go 0 to 100 too. You know, but it is. I have to check myself sometimes too. Like, okay, that's not the right way to, you know, project. You know what I'm saying? If we want to be the example as men and as brothers, you know, sometimes being angry publicly, you know, and how our black-on-black crime and or men-on-men crime, how we do each other, maybe that's not it. Maybe that's not the example that we need to be showing these children, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying. So maybe we can do something different for them. Maybe we can have a little compassion outside of ourselves as men. And maybe we can start to really, maybe if you're mad at the woman, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we can do it for the child. You know, are you, it is so much, it's so much within that onion, you know, but I'm pretty sure that there's something that you can lash to, that you can latch to, you know, if you don't have none of that, you know, maybe it's a community school that you can get involved in. Maybe it's a community, you know, maybe it's a summer program, you know, where you have a little free time. You know, I'm not telling you what to do because I never tell a man what to do because you ain't going to tell me what the fuck to do, right? So with that being said, you know, maybe a good suggestion would be finding something that you know you love to do. Mark, I'll use you as an example. You love books, you know. Maybe a local library or something like that. Maybe you can set up something, you know, at a local library and you know, put out a spread or something like that. And not only, not just teach, but show the young black men that, hey, this, and this. You know, maybe that
and that's all I want to do,
hobby.
Bro, is help. That's it.
Oh, trust
you know,
me, I got
know,
some, I
know, Mark,
I have some great things in the works.
Oh, no. I know, Mark, you
there's a message to the man
on this platform. All of us men on this platform. Again, and again,
you definitely
got to
send me a
promo,
bro.
Now, I will say this.
I came
close to having an issue because.
In there, Mark?
What happened?
No, if that's Mark talking, Mark, I want you to wrap up, Mark. 5 minutes. I want you to wrap up and tie in your wrap up, bro. We wrapping up.
Okay. Well, like I said, in all totality, like you said, before you said, and like I said at the beginning, fathers do exist. I showed the issues were both needed, and I brought the things in the Moynihan report when it came to the particular and show what we do need it. But at the end of the day, when it showed the same reports where they have numbers for numbers and all kinds of graphs and stuff in this, when you read it, it shows it at the same time. When at the end of the day, when people are set at a disadvantage, these things happen. Now, we put it on a fortunate situation, but when we get in a position where other people have opportunities or realize they could take advantage of it or get out and get out of that, or well, I'll say that bad situation, we work out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, once you learn how to do that, and like I said, bringing back that common union for the community and we being better examples and doing the right things out there in the community and doing that, even if with family and doing things like that, to where back in the day, I'm watching things, and like you said, role reversal on the situations, my name used to be the Manny because I used to watch and raise my friends' kids on doing things to where a sad situation, well, where I know most friends haven't experienced it, but to where it still breaks my heart today. I don't even try to think about it, but I know what it's like to where you raise kids, you change their diapers, you're teaching them how to read for about a good 3 to 4 years, and now you got 3-4 kids holding on to you crying for their lives because CPS got to take them away. And they holding on crying for their lives. And you're the only legal person that could do that because the parents can't even be there. So I know what it's like to raise kids. I've done this with a lot of my cousins. You see me all the time. I could show you mad pictures of me and the children all the time doing stuff to where me and my friends, we're seeing the weekly. Is it like horrible? That's my nickname. You hardly ever go outside, but all the kids know you because I'm a big kid. So whenever the ice cream man comes by, I'm getting ice cream, and all the kids, they can't get them, they getting ice cream too. Y'all going to do the ice cream dance and have some fun?
Like, how you treat people, whether it's kids or adults, it's all about love. And if you don't got love, then you ain't really a spiritual being. Love is what covers all this, man. Like, if you're walking around here, like, doing shit out of, like, ulterior motives and shit, nah, that's not love.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is that? Mark? Who's talking? I'm sorry. I can't. Mark, is that
was
your rap, bro?
My rap is, like you just said, it's all about love and showing love to these kids. If what you're not doing is showing a loving outcome for these kids, reevaluate your situation to get back on that equation, because that's the only equation is for these kids and love. If these kids can't be shown love, how are they going to work it out in life? So, yeah, get back to love.
Show love from example. As an example,
yep.
In order to show love, you have to become love.
We have to become love. Love
is not just a feeling.
Right.
I say what equates love is, this equation is love is the action, the discipline, and putting an end, all that into, sorry, got a truck passing by. But what equates love is, since it's an action, you have to do it disciplined, and you have to do it continuously. It's a discipline, it's an action, because there's days where you may feel like this, but love is going to have you go and do that extra mile, because that has to get done. I know, shoot, with kids or anybody, parents with kids, it's 3 in the morning, that baby's crying. You don't want to wake up. You're like, oh, shit, but, you know, you're going to get that job done for the baby. You didn't love waking up, but you love making sure that child is good. And so it goes down to this old feelings, and that's in relationships, because there's things when it comes, that's the other thing, duty. Understand the duty of what comes to it. So when you do it, you got to respect it to where, that's why when I break down the science of folks, that's why you get the term moral compass, or what I call the compassion of the more. And from the compassion, you have the passion, because the compass circles your passions. And that's your mathematics.
Mm.
And we just debunked some masonry right there. You got to use that compass to circle your compassions and navigate your way around it with through your knowledge and knowing your cipher.
Yep.
And when you put that into application and into that duty, that's when that love shows, because the tree's only going to bear its fruit.
Mm. Like,
you can't get a pear from an apple tree.
Mark, you in a better space, you know what I'm saying, brother? So, you know I love you for life, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to do this more often, my brother, because you already know, like, we too powerful not to deal together. But you actually mentioned
it. Oh, yeah,
and
like I said, it's time, because everything's balanced out. And, you know, a lot of things I've been through, even up until recently and things like that, to where I showed you, you came into the background, you're like, whoa, I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, I know how to play an injury very well. And the like, things I go, I'll carry my wounds openly, but you don't know how far it is. You just mad because you're from, no, you don't know what I'm going through right now, what I'm caring for others, or what I'm doing in the spiritual world to protect others. So it's levels to it.
Mm-hmm. It's levels to it. And, you know, Mark is a great example, because sometimes, you know, it based off of Mark's ego, you know what I'm saying, I would think that Mark is this. But when I really started to pay attention, you know, and I'm like, bro is doing his work, but bro is doing it in his own way, how he does it, and he doesn't have to explain to anybody. Now, with that being said, I noticed that a lot of us men are like that, you know, but sometimes we don't understand how or why we are the way that we are. So, you know, we are kind of self-conflicted with our own fucking selves, because we were never taught to know ourselves, or we never were taught to love ourselves, even in the most uncomfortable or the most, you know, unloving aspects of ourselves as a man. Do black fathers matter? Absolutely. I have seen a few black fathers with my own eyes snatch their kids off in front of their mom. Because, you know, they like, you know, one thing you're not going to play with is my children. I love you.
I still talk to my daddy every Saturday.
I respect you, and I will let you live some of their mindset. And I will let you live for the hurt and bullshit that you're not taking accountability that you put me through. Why? Because of our kids. But I let you see them every other weekend. You know, that is how far these men have gone to, who have been hurt, who will not take the bullshit that the women don't want to take accountability when it comes to their children. Y'all don't play about the children, you guys. We need to reexamine that part. you know, I know a lot of these young women and I talk, but we wrapping up, you know what I'm saying? But this is a great, powerful broadcast. Again, thank you to everybody. Mark, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Auntie, go ahead. You're up,
Auntie. Jay?
And we got about.
I'm right here.
Where's Jay?
I want Jay. Auntie, I want you, I want Jay to go last. That's
oh,
I'm saving
okay.
him for last. Yeah, yeah. So, Auntie,
okay.
you go ahead and wrap up if you can, you know, about 5 minutes, Auntie. But yeah, Jay is the one that's going to take us out.
Okay. this here, honey, is it's so simple. It's really simple, and yet we'd rather make it hard.
Mm.
We want to jump out here. No, we don't know. And bumper car our way through and then be wanting to moan and groan about our issues.
Mm.
And this shit could all be so real shit. This shit could all be so simple. We can't change what we survived. But we can use what we survived and make change. What's happened has happened. And we're supposed to deal with that and heal it in our very own life, in our very own way. But if there's a goal to be met, we've got to get to a point where we say we done did that. It's time to do this. And not just talk about it, but be representation of it in our everyday lives. We need each other. And the most important thing about what we need about each other doesn't come with a title. It doesn't have a title. There is no word created to describe it. What I am to you and what you are to me is different than what everybody else's experiences could be from our us. We are probability and possibility in motion. Chaos. But does chaos have to only be something that is negative? Because remember, everything has a 360. Is there not a positive chaos? When the people come through to remove the mothers of the earth, to create land, to be able to farm, is that sacrifice in vain for the mothers of the earth that have to go down to now be able to build shelter, to now be able to create from itself something else in its image that is different? Can the energies and entities that are us just be? Be who you are in your highest self and introduce yourself to your lower self so that you understand when needed where to go in you. And you just existing in your own individual survival. Well, is this knowledge only for you? No, this is when you no longer are just knowledgeable, but you now gain the wisdom to share what you know can help. And if you help just one, then you've done your job. All the rest are extra. And they're extra because you become extra. You become the extra love. You become the extra compassion to do it for more than just you. It's an overflow. This is energy. And energy can shift entities. And we have to remember that energy can shift entities. And if energy can shift entities, then we can change this. It starts in your mind and in my mind. And then we create it. And if we build it, even as individuals, as being a part of it, then the people who are ready to hear, see, and activate will come because you only draw what you are. Peace and love and light, family, even from our darkness. Ashe.
Ashe. All right, guys. Jay, thanks again, you know, for coming on, brother. You know, I think it was a beautiful turnout. Just know that we do this every weekend. This is Motivational Classroom, kind of where everybody shows up, you know, and kind of speak their mind and everything like that. Spiritual Soul Sunday,
is my segment, you know, to I may have a personal guest or whatever's on my mind, you know, and I want to share with the world, you know. So just know that at 11 a.m. Eastern time, we do this every week, and if you ever want to join, and to any of you guys, if you have a ears open, you know, you don't have to pay for shit, nothing like that, you know, we can build together. And anything that you want to talk about, that you feel like you want to get to the world, or you have any concern, just, and this is not just to the brothers on the panel, you know, Auntie LJ, I already know, she's been here for like 2 years, but to anybody, you know, if you have an idea, anything like that, ear is that platform to where you ain't got.
I've been 2 years. I came when it was have you? White and fatty. Yeah, I've been
okay,
with
it was
you
20, it was
almost
2019.
4 years.
2019 is when I revamped this. So 2019, 2020.
Okay.
So that's 3 years right there.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
So you was here like, yeah, you mm-hmm. came like a little bit, a few months just right of the revamp. You know what I'm saying? So Auntie been here since the
yeah,
damn but, revamp, you know, 3 years, you know. So, you know what I mean? But just to anybody, you know, I'm not asking you to be a host or nothing like that, but just know that that is even available for you too if you want a spot. Again, no money is ever required. The spot is yours, you know, just let me know what we need to do, you know, because the message is bigger than us, you know what I'm saying? We need to get to the message, we need to get to the youth, we need to, you know, the message, the message, the message, you know. We don't always like the messenger, and that's okay, but did we get the message, right? So, Jay, go ahead and take us out, and thank you.
Oh, okay.
I want to
okay.
right quick before
I'm,
you
wanna,
start, Jay. Before you start, I just want to say consistency is everything. You want to save the children? Be consistent with the children. Be consistent with the child that is you. Be consistent with you. Be consistent with the people that you engage with. Find your rhythm and do your part. And it'll
yes, ma'am.
Be yourself. I say.
Yes, ma'am. I say for sure. So I want to I just want to take everybody's contributions and to add them up to I want to close the show out with a bang, and I'm just going to speak directly to fathers. You know, a lot of times when women don't young women, especially teenage moms, they tend to be they're introduced an idea of love that's really obsession, because you can only obsess over an idea. You can only love real things. You can obsess over an idea of something. And what happens is when you know, single mothers are raising more single mothers, they ingrain a lot of unproductive thought patterns, like don't fall for a man, he ain't got no money, he ain't got no this, he ain't got no that. And women just don't think they can find love with a man with a bus pass. So one thing we got to stop doing in the black household, or any household, should I say, is stop competing with each other. Like, man and the mother and the father, they are not mutually exclusive. They are balanced. You do this, I do this. I focus on this, you focus on this. Women, you handle the children's emotionality. Men, we keep it real, we keep it 100, and we lead. And it's not a bad thing for a woman to follow a man, because a woman can lead certain things, men lead certain things. It's not a competition. It's not you do more and I do more. We complete each other. Sometimes you do 80, sometimes I do 20. And the other half of what I'm going to say is how it plays into single mothers, just ending with this, is you think just because a man moves on, like there's a reason why, like it's so, like I don't hear that I'm a bad father when you got a boyfriend. I don't hear that, but when you're alone and you see me with somebody, you see me living my life, now you want to reintroduce yourself into my life in the worst way possible. It's going to make me hate you. It's going to make me angry at you, because you always have these expectations of me that I'm never going to meet, because I'm focused on something else. So I want us to stop comparing our lives to each other, especially when we have sex and not having sex no more,
women end up regretting their children as opposed to loving them. If you're a single mother, then that's the situation. He'll come around when he comes around, but at the end of the day, fucking a broke man and expecting him to be anything more just because you want him to be, it's not how life works. Sometimes you roll the dice and you crap out, but a child will always hate you for pulling them away. Well, I won't say always hate. I mean, a child will resent you much later on, as all of us grown up and we're in this time and space now. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And to anyone that's listening, again, remember that we are live every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, guys. Same time, 929-477-3423. Go to our website. Yes. If you're in our Facebook group, you can go to the Enhancing Awareness Radio blog talk website, and you can actually set up and ask your calendar when each show goes live. It has a way, I think you have to set up a blog talk account, but it has a way to where you can actually literally set it up to where each time we go live, you guys can get notified that we are live. So, you know, be the change that you wish to see. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone. We will do this,
thanks.
All right? Just know, we will do this. It will get done. All right, we just have to move and just see how we doing it, but it will get done. The shift will happen. Compassion will be restored. And this is to my ancestors. It will happen. We just figuring it out how to do it. Who's that trying to speak? Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes. Was that you, Jay? Somebody was trying to say something.
No, that wasn't me.
All right, guys.
No, that wasn't me.
Okay. Auntie, anything?
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate this opportunity. I'm grateful for
I appreciate
you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
Go
the
ahead,
vibe
Auntie.
Of the energy. I'm actually in the house. I've got to get started. We have an event that we need to be leaving to go to, so I've got to do my mommy duties.
Okay.
But,
Auntie, thank you for being here. Auntie, I want to say this to you, Auntie. I know, you know, we growing through our, you know, differences and learning mm-hmm. one another, you know, as we learn each other's differences and all of that. But, Auntie, thank mm-hmm. you for being you. I really mean that from the depth of my soul, you know. And I know you see, nephew, and because you got children mm-hmm. of your own, you know. So mm-hmm. I know you know and see, but I'm a tough one now. You know, so I just want to say thank you.
You can
just
only
for
be
being
who
you.
You are.
And you're right.
You can
but
only
see,
be who
thank
you
for
are.
Thank you for being you, and thank you to us for still having compassion mm-hmm. not to throw each other away. How about that?
But you know what? When it's supposed to be, it just is. Nobody
just
forces
is.
Anything. It just is.
Right.
I have many children. I birthed three. But I have many children.
Yeah.
I have many mm-hmm. people that come in, and they teach me as much as I teach them. You teach me as much as I teach you. This is
mm-hmm.
what it is. And when we stop wanting to put labels on everything and just let energy be what it is, it's a whole
mm.
different level of intimacy. And that intimacy comes
mm.
with chastisement. We are confused that we think that just because something is happening, it's supposed to be forevermore. Everything changes.
Mm.
Everything. So we have to, if you love me, love all of me. Don't love me in fractions. Because I'm not coming to
there
you in fractions. Because I am whole with myself. And because
yes.
I am whole
right.
with me, I need you to be whole with you so that we can be whole. And that's all we're
yes.
doing. So you're welcome. Because
all
you
right.
are available to make me feel welcome.
Yes, 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 yes. So, guys, that's what it is. You know, if we can get back to that, if we can start to value one another again, however that looks, if we can start to value one another again, I think we'll be okay. Peace,
let
love,
me tell
and
you something, and then I'm going to shut up. Wait, let me get
we got
you
one
here.
Minute.
Remember,
okay,
remember, We don't have friends if they always agree with you. You don't. Oh. They're not your friend if they're always agreeing with you. They're not your friend. They don't love you. They don't respect you. And you are not doing the same with them if you can't accept that they think different because they are different. They are parts of you. They are not your totality. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own individual rights. If you're going to love me in my rights so that you can love me in my wrong.
Mm.
Love us.
All right. I say.
Static and addict.